single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
'Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Living Life. I've talked about how much I, you know, love watching movies and TV shows, and one of the genres that I like, that I love, is science fiction, or sci-fi, as commonly known. And in a lot of science fiction movies or stories, time traveling is a common theme or a common story tool. And you know, one of the most famous ones is Back to the Future. And every time I watch science fiction, time-traveling movies or shows, I love to kind of analyze the way they portray it, right? Because science, time-traveling is something that no one really understands, that doesn't exist, may never, ever exist, may actually be completely impossible, implausible, but we love to try and tell it and love to use it. And I love just analyzing and finding faults, problems, or irrationalities in the way they use and portray time traveling. And basically, in all the movies that I've seen with time traveling, there's something there that, for me, causes it to not make sense. I think Back to the Future may be one of the simplest ones. But these days, and that makes it kind of better, but these days they try to make it more complex. And to me, that kind of ruins it because it gets too complex, too complicated, and in the end, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Now, we've been going through Isaiah, and Isaiah is full of prophecies. And sometimes, in terms of prophecies, we get the same kind of idea about predicting time traveling and knowing the future. And, you know, to us, it may not make any sense and be full of fallacies. But scriptural prophecies are much more than just knowing or predicting or time traveling to the future and or past. So let's read the passage and then we'll continue.
Isaiah chapter 19, verses 16 through 25. In that day, the Egyptians will be like women. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. And the land of Judah will bring terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom Judah is mentioned will be terrified because of what the Lord Almighty is planning against them. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called the City of Destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, He will send them a savior and defender, and He will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance."
Now, today's passage follows the passage which is the oracle against Egypt. And it's the second part, part two of three. Part three we'll look at tomorrow. And the whole point of today's passage is to teach the Israelites that they shouldn't trust foreign powers and kings when they are in need, when they are desperate, right? They need to trust their God instead. I mean, they are a people that was, you know, chosen by God to be His own people, to be kind of a witness to the rest of the world. But here they are, you know, when the Assyrians are coming to invade them and, you know, suppress them and make them, you know, their slaves, they try to look for, you know, which king, which country, power can protect us, what kind of alliances. So they are looking for people to trust, for foreign earthly powers to trust instead of their God, despite the history of God intervening and rescuing them. Right now, so the prophecy is about the downfall of these foreign powers. And in today's passage, it shows and it says that Egypt will actually eventually turn to God in the future anyway. So why are you trying to trust in Egypt, who you see, you know, as kind of apart from God, when they will eventually surrender and be worshippers of your God in the future already? So trust in God today, who the world will worship in the future. That is kind of the message that we see. Now, as we talk about prophecies, and, you know, we have repetitions of prophecies, you know, for the next couple of days, maybe weeks, as we go through Isaiah, we have to think about the purpose of prophecies in the Bible. I mean, the message is simple and, in a sense, clear. Don't trust in people, trust in God. Right? That's kind of the repetition that you'll see in the next couple of days and weeks. But why prophecies? Right? Why? What are the purpose? What is the purpose of prophecies in the Bible? Now, the prophecy is not given so that the people who are hearing or listening can map out their future, you know, their future, or have like a timeline of what will happen, you know, in the future. Kind of like what I was talking about with time traveling. Very often for us, when we think about time traveling, it is a way to get a shortcut in life, right? To one of the most common recurring themes with time traveling is to know what will happen in the future so that we can take advantage of it, right? In Back to the Future, it was about knowing the scores, you know, of baseball games so that you could bet and win huge. And one of the, you know, kind of a villain characters, that's what he did. You know, he got the book from the future and he made a few bets, you know, eventually more, and he became really, really rich. Now, you know, that's a really simple, earthly, secular way of looking at prophecy or predicting, knowing the future. Now, biblical prophecy is a call to obey God, who is revealed in terms of the covenant, his promise with us. Yeah. So as he reveals himself, as he reveals what happens in the future, in the context of the covenant that he has made with us, it is about how we should live now, right? He shows us the future. He tells us about what will happen if we do these things, so that we can correct, we can turn to God now, right? So in this new context, the prediction or prophecy has two purposes. One is to verify that the God who is calling for obedience is indeed the God who is sovereign over the entire universe, right? Who knows all things. And also to give confidence to the listeners, to the readers, that they can obey God, that he is worthy of our trust. So flowing on, scriptural prophecies correct our human fallacies, our human, wrong understanding of what prophecy is, right? And of what our present and future should be and will be. As we live in a way that are often distant from God, that are away from how God, wants us to live. His prophecies, as he shows us the future, it's actually correcting our present, not just to correct the future. Yeah. Now, today's passage is divided into three sections. And I think from there, we can kind of glean points of how we should live today. The first is from verse 16 to 18, where Egypt will learn to fear God. And some of the words that highlight this for me is fear, terror, and terrified. And this comes from the judgment of God. It's a reminder that God does judge. And we begin with the fear of God as we approach him, that he is not, you know, just anyone, right? He is to be feared and revered. The second section is verses 18 to 22, where it shows us that Egypt will learn to be a witness to God and witness of God. And words like speak the language, swear, altar, monument, and vows. And this comes after the judgment of God. They learn that, he is to be witnessed. He is real. He is powerful. He is God. part 3 is verses 23 to 25, and it's Egypt blessed to be a blessing, a way to the way, that is God, and a conduit of worship. Words like highway, go, to, together, bless, and blessed. And this to me is a picture of the book of Revelation. Right, when all nations, he says in verse 25 of today's passage, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. People together worshiping, different peoples. People who are traditionally polytheistic, you know, Egypt with their, you know, lots and lots of gods. In today's context, Muslims, Jews, there will be one worshiping the one God, the true God, and the triune God. So for us today, to correct us today for the future, we need to fear God, we need to witness God, and we need to bless God. So as we end today, we need to fear God instead of the enemies or forces that are surrounding us. We need to live as witnesses. May our lives should be an altar or a monument, a sign to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And lastly, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are actually blessed to be a revelation towards worship, a revelation of worship to the world before the throne of God, so that but everyone, all peoples, traditions and cultures will worship together before the throne of God. That is what we are called to and what we are reminded to today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, your covenant, your promise, Lord. We thank you that you are great. You are truly great and to be feared, to be worshipped, O Lord. And we pray that we will worship with many nations, many tongues and peoples before you with that revelation. May that revelation ignite us before you to live for you today, O Lord, as we learn from the prophecies for tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
For a single soul, reaching a further and stepping in closer, CGM.